Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you once again that you brought us back here to continue learning from you. Thank you for having saved our lives. Thank you for the cross. Lord Jesus, as we stand again before your saints, we know that we don't deserve. We know that we are ignorant. Lord, help us. Use us to teach us together your word, that we understand scriptures, that we understand your will, until the name of Jesus Christ is glorified among the nations. Use my memory, my everything, to bring forth your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we, you know, in medicine, there's some funny thing they tell us, the doctors. Most of the things that we like, they say they are not good for our health. Like sodas, fried chicken, chocolate, and almost all sugary things. When you put them on your tongue, they taste nice. You want to eat and eat and eat. The tongue rejoices. But your health is deteriorating, is dying. On the other side, there are types of food that we don't want even to taste. Bitter type of food. Bitter, sour. We don't like them. But the doctors say those are the best for us. And Jesus said, why don't you want to learn spiritual things from natural things? Spiritual things from natural things. The same truth is, the same idea is true here in the spiritual things. The things that we think work for us in our churches, because they make us feel nice, they make us entertained. Even if you brought scriptures to try to support them, they are not there. I always say, read your Bible well. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll find this equation, that entertainment plus God equals zero. Entertainment plus God equals zero. It gives you zero results. The business between God and his creatures has always been a serious one. It is now, And it will continue being a serious one forever and ever. Today we are looking at sola gratia. Grace alone. Okay, we sometimes enjoy saying them in Latin simply because those who started them, they were using Latin language. After going through scripture alone yesterday, after learning that we should abandon our brain practices our man-made practices and we should go back to scriptures because scripture alone is the word of God and a scripture alone proves everything, then today we are going to the second point. Just to remind those who were not with us yesterday, we are going through the Reformation. Yesterday we saw how the New Testament church was we saw how corruption entered the church. No, sibuli wenguzi. Corruption. Yes. And then it is that corruption that forced a group of people to say, no, where the church has reached, it has gone astray. And they started opposing the Roman Catholic Church. With its teachings that were not rooted in scriptures. And that was the beginning of the Reformation. These reformers, all of them together, they had what they were teaching in 5 points. Number one is scripture alone, meaning that scripture alone is the authority of any church, not the Pope, not the bishop, not the pastor, not the prophet. Prophets have also become a problem in this country. Prophet, if we are prophet. My prophet said, even if it's not in the Bible, I have to follow what the prophet said. The reformers went all over the world preaching scripture alone. The second one is grace alone. The third one is faith alone. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. And all those together to the glory of God alone. Now today we are looking at grace alone. What does that mean? What do they teach? What exactly is the doctrine of grace alone?
What?
The doctrine of grace alone, what is it exactly? In order to give a complete answer, one must look both to scripture and to church history. The issue raised goes all the way back to the time of Paul. In his debate with the Judaizers. Yes, you know, he was debating a lot with these Judaizers. However, the problem of justification by good works, justification by good works,
justification
by works occurs again in the 4th century in the controversy between two men. One is called Augustine. He was bishop of a place called Hippo in North Africa. And the followers of another man called Pelagius in Britain. These two men, Pelagius and Augustine, taught different things. Let me begin with Pelagius. Those who have done some theological training, you know. You know a false doctrine in churches today that is called Pelagianism.
Pelagianism.
Yes, these are the teachings of this man Pelagius. It's a Christian belief that denies the view of the original sin and it also denies the necessity of grace. So the people, Pelagianists say there's no original sin. And therefore the things of grace is not there. They say that man is capable of achieving salvation by his own effort. Yes, that is Pelagianism. There are churches that follow that teaching. Now, let us try to look a bit into the discussion between Augustine and Pelagius. In laying a background for this discussion, the scriptures must first be examined. Moreover, the issue of grace has to do with the doctrine of original sin. As with the issue of merit or good works. What do we mean here is this. If only you believe that there's nothing like original sin, then this teaching of grace is not yours. You can even get out and go and rest. Because grace is based on the presence of the original sin. The premise in the Bible is that, the teaching in the Bible is that, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, a curse came upon their lives and upon all their descendants.
kandi kwagendereke munahali yabo bona abamahondera bona yitwenda iwe na nyo.
We were cast in Eden.
Tuka yitwenda tukachienwa omu Eden.
All humankind.
O abantu bole bandiwe byona.
The curse was that it was that spiritual and physical death.
Omuchieno nugogo okufwa kwonyine physical.
I mean the curse was that
omuchieno kabagulingu
spiritual and physical death would result
okufwa okuomoyo nogobwomezi
would come if they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the condition God placed there for them. If you don't eat from this fruit, our communion will continue forever. The day you eat from this fruit, you'll be cursed. And the spirit, both spiritual and physical death will come to
you.
And God left them there to choose what they
want.
Unfortunately, whenever I'm reading this passage, I don't feel nice. Our representatives, our first parents, naturally they chose to disobey God. So I want to inform you that even as we sit in this church, our nature, you and me, is towards sin. Whether we are church members or pastors, call yourself bishop or apostle or overseer and whatever you want.
No whatever you preside, no whatever you minister, no whatever you bishop, no whatever you take into your life.
Our thinking is always towards disobeying God. If you fail to disobey God, it's just by grace. So the biblical view of grace must first understand that mankind became totally corrupt. Let us help one another. Let's be all of us helping our sister, because I want people to receive this message well without even missing. You need to first know that mankind became totally corrupt, tainted by sin in every area of the human nature, including the ability to think and to reason clearly. What I like here is the word totally. The word total, we are totally corrupt. We are totally corrupt. Some people say, pastors, evangelists say no.
Now,
after the fall, humankind was not totally corrupt. We were partially corrupt. Is it partially? Yes, I want the message to come out well. Because I don't want to preach to myself.
In other
words, they say humankind was found in a state of a coma, sort of coma. You are not dead, but you are not alive. But the Bible says that we are totally corrupt. In every sphere, in every area. You and me today, even if we lead churches, we fail to think clearly, correctly. Because of that sin. Moreover, the gifts allowing humankind to think without the influence of sin are removed, and both man's thoughts and his will are corrupted. Let's see what Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says. It says this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth.
Is there one I want to read?
Chapter 6 verse 5. Just translate. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was wickedness, sin, was great in the earth, and that every intent, every thinking of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. These are the words of God. That our thinking, whatever we think in our hearts, are always evil. The essence of the created human nature would include all that makes us human. However, to summarize, the human nature is basically three elements. Yeah, three elements, three things make up the human nature. Intellect, will, and emotion. Only in the context of the human image and likeness, being totally and completely tainted,
who can help us?
Who can help?
You can put it in Uganda and then I translate in Ruto.
Are you sure?
Yes.
But I'm also recording for my American friends. Yeah, it's, you know, you're running back to me. Yes. Yeah, okay, let him have.
Okay.
So you see, okay, let me try to put it another way. First way. Only the context of the human image and likeness being totally and completely tainted and corrupted by sin, first way, can be understood the necessity and purpose of God's grace. So he's saying, for us to understand God's grace, we need to understand that human nature was totally corrupt
Yes. If you don't believe in the total corruption, then grace cannot, is not really something important to you. This would bring us to the controversy between Augustine of Hippo and the school of Pelagius. Controversy, yes. Yes. Augustine understood from his own conversion experience that humanity is in bondage to sin. When Augustine read Romans and Galatians, when he read from Romans and Galatians, he understood that mankind was in such slavery as to be spiritually dead. After reading Romans and Galatians, Augustine saw that man was in a state of death. And in complete, is like in under chains to the original and actual sins. Under chains. That's why when we ask people, when does sin begin in human's life? Some say when a baby is 3 months old. Others know, maybe when he starts reasoning, maybe 5 years old. That's why when you give birth to your baby, you call them many names. Among them, innocent.
Innocent.
Huh? Innocent. Innocent. Angel.
Malaika.
Oh, my innocent angel.
Oh, mwana wangu mtulezi.
But the Bible says,
Bible
sin begins from the womb.
Bible
you are born in sin.
Tukazaru wa mkibi.
This baby, 1 year, 1 day old, is a sinner. Moreover, totally. The problem was so severe, so serious. According to
Augustine,
that only God himself could intervene. Because the whole of humankind was already dead. Pelagius, on the other hand, was more concerned with antinomianism problem.
Cheap grace.
Yeah, he was more concerned on cheap grace. Because his observations in Britain were that many Christians were using grace as an excuse. and an opportunity for sin. Pelagius therefore emphasized man's ability to choose by free will between doing good and doing evil. So Pelagius says, no, it's upon us men to choose whether to do good or evil. The problem with Pelagius, however, is that he went so far in the direction of human freedom. He gave too much power to human freedom. He said, even if God wants to use you, and he invites you, if you are not ready yet, you can say no. I can't come. To the point that he denied original sin and the depravity of the human race. The depravity is the total corruption of the human race. So Pelagius said, no, human beings are not totally depraved, are not totally corrupt. In response to Pelagius, answering him, Augustine's writing on nature and grace says that if humankind is inherently righteous by nature, then individuals ought to be able to actually do what is righteous
and
they don't need a savior. That's how Augustine ended it or concluded it. So, in my own words, let me try to put this way. Pelagius here and Augustine here. Augustine says, when men sinned, they died.
Back up.
And he got it from here. Let's go to Genesis. So I show you where Augustine was getting his Genesis. Chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17 reads. Yeah, can you read in the Torah first? Well, let me read it to interpret, okay? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. These are the words of the Lord. You will surely die. Not that you'll be very sick.
That's what Augustine was trying to explain. But Pelagius said no. After the first sin, men didn't die. Without going into detailed and lengthy discussion of the debate between these two men, it should be noted that Paul himself said that man's ability to reason by nature and by the light,
the light
he has of himself is insufficient to lead him to salvation. It's not enough to lead him to salvation. Let us go to Romans chapter 1. Let's see what Paul says about this. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18 up to 21. Yes, Romans 1:18 says,
Barumbi ikum emu ikumnamnana negamba.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven.
Okwanza kwa ruhanga
obusungu.
The wrath
obusungu.
O ekinigacha ruhanga sukuro kugongiku.
Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Okwita ya abantu bona bopigira. Unrighteousness.
Yes. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness? No one can read Rutoro for us, the Bible of Rutoro.
Baitu ekinuka tiyalahanga nikisugurwa ukuruga omuinkuru. Hali okutatina langa kuona no okutahikira kwa abantu abatanga amazima obukutahikira. Oru 11. Baitu ebikumanywa ebyaruhanga nibimanyisibwa omulibo. Baitu ruhanga akabimanyisa bo. Baitu ebye ebitarukurorwa oburuga hapangwa okwensi nibirolerwa kimu nibimanyisibwa. Nibimanyirwa hali ebi ebyahangirwe nigo maani ge agatahwaho n'obwaruhangabwe batasobora okweyihaho omusango olwabirinarumu. Baitu obu bamanyire ruhanga batamubukize nka ruhanga n'obwakuba okumusiima. Baitu bakahabisibwa obwokuteera empaka zaabo kandi omutima gwabo omugwagwa gwagwatwa omwirimu.
Thank you, sister.
Webale muno waisee.
Yeah, this is what Paul was reasoning concerning this point.
Omulimu ogundi Paulo akaba nabaza nasigikira ha bigambo bino.
And he says, since the creation of the world, God has been showing his attributes, his powers in nature. Everyone could understand that by the things that surround us. Even his eternal power, his Godhead, so that people remain without excuse. Because even if they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Nor were thankful. They were not thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts. So that, okay, grace alone means that since humankind is spiritually dead,
he
is in bondage to sinful nature. In sinful nature. Only a supernatural intervention can restore what was lost in the fall. Django. Thank you. Now let me repeat this phrase. Grace alone means that since humankind is spiritually dead and in bondage to the sinful nature, only supernatural intervention can restore what was lost in the fall. Only after our parents, Adam and Eve, had eaten the fruit, that very moment, they died spiritually. Then they were now waiting for time to die physically. And you and me, also ate that fruit inside them. We also died that very moment spiritually. And we will remain lying there, dead people. Now let me bring this illustration. If all of us who are in this church die, not to faint, to die seriously. Amen.
Amen.
And then this church catches fire. Fire starts from here. Slowly. Then someone stands outside there. He sees fire. And he starts calling upon us to get out. Guys, where you are, the church has caught fire. Get out of that church. Can we get out? We can't, because dead people don't reason. You don't have any nonsense. That's only you guys. Fire is increasing. Get out. Get out. But only dead bodies are. Only one person can make us get out of this church. It is God who gives life. If he brings, he puts life into us, and we open our eyes, what am I doing down here?
Hey,
which voice is that outside? You guys, the fire is increasing, get down! It's only then, because fire and you take off. But it starts from God to first restore life in the dead body. A good interpreter. Thank you. Calvinists, okay, people under John Calvin, call this irresistible grace. Yes. By grace alone, Sorry. But grace alone also means an exclusion of any credit, any merit given to sinners. So, you don't give any credit to a sinner. Not even. But you know what the Roman Catholic Church teaches up to these days? That you can do good works. You can give more money in your church. You can help more poor outside. Visit the sick more. The prisoners. When you continue doing those good things, it will attract God to extend His grace to you. That is not buying grace. That is buying it. You are doing your good works to corrupt God. Don't give any credit, any merit to a sinner on account of their good work. And people have been arguing between faith and grace, what comes first? What comes first? I'd like to hear people. What do you think? Is it grace that comes first, then faith, or faith comes first, then grace? Yes. Faith is the product of grace. Yes. God extends His grace to a dead body like you first. Because it is grace that will restore life into this dead body. And then after coming back to your senses, that's only when you can now have faith in God. Yeah. If in faith is a gift of God, and even our repentance is a gift of God preceding any actual believing we do, the scriptures make this clear, especially in the epistles of Paul. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 up to 5. Now, as I have a good interpreter, let me read. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 up to 5. The Bible says, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you hear what I've been talking about? We were dead bodies, but He made us alive. Verse 2. In which you were walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom Also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, of wrath of anger, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. So grace is that power from God that comes down, enters a dead body and makes it a living person. God asked
Ezekiel,
put your eyes down. What do you see? Oh, a huge valley full of dead, full of bones. And he asked him,
Ezekiel,
can those people there live again? No, Lord, you know better. These are just dry bones. To me as a human being, they can. But you know better. Okay, prophesy to them. Ezekiel prophesied. And he immediately saw bones coming from up and down, coming together into skeletons. Can they live now? You know better, Lord. Prophesy again. Prophesy. Flesh and skin came. They became now real dead bodies. No more skeletons. Can they live now? No better, Lord. Prophesy again. Ezekiel prophesy. He just felt wind, strong wind. That in Hebrew they call ruach. Very powerful wind from God. The Holy Spirit of God. Entered into those dead bodies. They stood up into a big army. That is grace. That is grace. The Spirit of God entered you and me when we were dead in our sin. What is wrong? What is evil? We were boasting over them. I'm very important. I've sinned with 50 girls now. And Paul says, they boast over what they would be ashamed of. Someone is putting on a mini skirt up to here. When she leaves her house, she believes that she's very smart. And other dead people outside there will keep telling, encouraging her, you are smart. You look smart. But if my sister, the way she is here, looked at her, she said, no, you are naked.
mbabazi.
It is grace.
Mbabazi.
That opens our eyes, our mind, to know that this and this and this I'm doing is not good. Grace is the Lord's alone. We don't have anything we can do with grace. He extends His grace.
Sorry.
He extends His grace to whoever you want. You can't corrupt Him. Even if you get a knife and cut yourself, you will never love you. That is not enough to push Him. Extend His grace to you. Even his close friend Moses. His close friend Moses. After talking to God many times.
One
time he said, "But God, I haven't understood you. Whom do you extend your mercy to? And whom do you leave?" I said, "Moses, we want to know. I extend grace to whomever I want to. I live whomever I want to live. Out of my own will." Never ever think that you are the way you are, a Christian, a pastor, an evangelist, because you are good. God looked at you. So yeah, this one does not do more, commit more sin like others. Let me save you. No. Or don't think that the Lord has not called Muslims, Roman Catholics, that you are better than they. Not at all. Some of them, even Muslims. Go and check your life. You are a pastor. No, I say you are a pastor.
You are a pastor,
but compare your life with the life of that neighbor of yours, who is not a born again. You find that they are better than you 100 times. Your character is very bad. Those guys are okay. But God has not invited them. He has invited you. Not because you are good. Not because you are smart. Not because you are beautiful or handsome. We walk on the streets of Kampala. I see true handsome men. And inside there I say, this man is by far more handsome than I am. But he's dancing naked. They don't know God. The grace of God. You cannot help him. I look into my own family. Almost all of them are dead. He drew me along. Up to this day, I sit back. And ask Lord, why me? What did I do good? Up to these days, people call me your servant. But I'm still a sinner. Why did you like an evil person? And the answer is, My grace is sufficient.
Kandi galukwawo kiri ku embarazi zange nzima.
It is grace.
Ziri embarazi.
Grace.
Embarazi.
Another thing that is eating up churches these days. Moreover, we church leaders. Very deadly virus. Called self-righteousness. You believe you are righteous in yourself. You think you deserve. You don't deserve anything. What we call grace is what the world calls chance. The world calls chance.
Okay.
We who are born again. That vocabulary chance, remove it if it has been in your dictionary. Remove
it.
So remove that word chance in your dictionary. There's nothing like chance to us. Everything that comes our way. Is by the grace of God. And the definition of grace, according to dictionary, is unmerited gift. It's unmerited gift. It's a gift you don't merit, you don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve to pastor this church. You don't deserve to be a father of those children that call you dad or
mom.
What about the barrens? How better are you than they? If you went to school even up to P1. What about those who didn't even
study?
The grace of God has helped us to go down on the ground. Even if he lifts you. You say, no, I don't deserve this.
No, gamba nangu watiki semeni.
Other people who have self-righteousness in their hearts. They even call themselves names. I'm a powerful man of God. Powerful woman of God. I wish it was like this. If they said, I am a servant of a powerful God. I want that word powerful to go to my great God, not to you. Why do you put that word powerful on you?
And
on God, there's no word powerful. My pastor is a powerful man of God. Let him be a servant. But then me, I tell my church member, I'm a slave. I'm a slave of a powerful God. Of the Most High God. It's by grace. So when you have self-righteousness in you, that's why you see pastors, he has been on food. And tomorrow, he gets the cheapest car. He changes. He becomes big. I was in Lusaka, Zambia recently.
And I saw brethren
stinking
with money, stinking with wealth,
but
down on the ground. Down! You can't believe it! But if you are serving Christ and you have Malala Mugwe, people out there know you as Musumba, that pastor, that pride pastor.
Proud pastor.
The members of your church know, yes, this is my pastor, but pastor naya inako kumalala. You might serve God for years and then you end up in hell.
No,
because one of the first things that grace removes, true grace from God, first removes pride, puts it down. Paul was educated. He was a Pharisee. But when he was hit by the grace from God, he went on the ground. What are titles? I'm happy if people, even if they stopped calling me Pastor Bill. Even if you called me Bill, you'll not change anything before my God. By the way, in our church, my brother Marvin is behind there. They rarely call me pastor, rarely. They call me Brother Bill. All of them.
Bill.
From the youngest to the oldest. Brother Bill.
Bagamba brother.
The spirit of humility was in Christ Jesus. Humility. The spirit of pride was in Lucifer. I'm now an apostle, so I'm not a mere pastor. I'm now, okay, you know those titles. Why do you want people to know you as an apostle? One, so that they fear you. And why do you want people to fear you? Two, because you want them to respect you. Why do you want them to respect you? Look for respect from God. Let God respect you. And whoever God respects, the world does not. God respected Jesus Christ. But the world looked at Jesus like feces. Friends. Others, when we invite them to our conferences, because of that Malala, he knows he's a powerful man. He comes with escorts who carries bag. He's now too big to carry his small bag. They come. Remember, he's a visitor. This is the first time to reach this church. They come and put themselves on those seats. What if that seat was for a bigger person than you? When they come and tell you, Pastor, please
come,
you'll be ashamed.
So
the reformers had seen too much pride in the Roman Catholic Church. And they said, no, we need to go back to the roots of
God.
It is grace alone.
Salvation you can't buy it. Just continue giving your money. Continue doing whatever you want. Sell your houses. You can't corrupt God. Just go under the feet of Christ. Cry to Him daily. Tell Him, Lord, I need Your grace. In our second session, as we continue with grace, you'll see that we are going to see that grace that brings us to Christ is one. It's the same. But once you've entered Christ, grace also grows. And we have different graces. Oh, how I wish the real grace of God would come upon us all. It's all about grace. I've seen friends in the U.S. Even the mere fact that they get an opportunity to teach, preach about grace, they cry like babies. Because they say, Lord, I don't deserve. How many people are on the face of the planet? And many millions and millions you haven't invited. But those few you have invited, why am I among them? I don't deserve this. And the Father tells you, don't worry, my son, my daughter. My grace is sufficient. And it covers all your sins. Past, present, and future. Enjoy yourself in my grace. I've shown you one sign that can help you put a question mark on grace in you. Pride. Or even to try to think that you what you know is better than what all these know. That's also pride. That's why we told you even yesterday that we did not come all the way from Kampala to force you what we think is correct. No.
Now
we came so that we sit down and reason together. On the word of God. I might have come with my wrong teachings from Kampala. But as we discuss together, you point me to scriptures. And I say, yes, my friends here are right. I'll go back to Kampala also help to buy you. That's why my brother yesterday said, make sure when you are bringing your point it to the scripture. Book, chapter, and verse. So that the word of God alone will speak. But when you are bringing a point, and every time you are, but me, I think, you are telling us openly that it's not the word of God, it's your thinking. Don't say I think, say the word of God. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. How can we stand before your saints? Your precious people. You were beaten up for them. You accepted to be left naked on the cross for them. I believe I don't deserve to stand up upon their heads. Because you invited me by your grace. I have to do it. Thank you. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We are not in any way better than any other. We are still sinners. But because of your grace, you love us so dearly. Thank you. From our nature, we always think of sin. Always. But if we try to avoid sin, it's not out of our own will. It is through the power of your grace. And we say thank you. Help us, Lord. As we continue learning together from your words, let us not rely on our experiences with you, which have no foundation in scriptures, Lord. Open our understanding to understand these things. Your grace is fast, as fast as an ocean. Thank you for having invited us. To partner with you. Receive all the glory. Whatever I've said, out of my own mind, forgive me, O Lord. And whatever I've said correctly, receive the glory alone. I don't want to share anything with you from your glory. I want to point people on you and you alone. Not to our church. Not to me. But to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.